Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 44 of the Footmarks podcast. I'm your host, Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And our title for today is World Test Permutations. And as that title suggests, we'll be talking about the frontrunners who could potentially play the World Test Championship final in the summer of 2025. Now, we'll be discussing the top six test nations only, with all due respect to the West Indies, Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. That sounds about fair, right, Jared?
Yes. I mean, certainly. I didn't look much at Bangladesh and the West Indies, but I took a little bit of a look at Sri Lanka, and I think they're more likely to come last than make the final, which is funny because they had a really good campaign last time.
Yeah, I mean, Sri Lankan fans will be listening to this and they'll be saying that, hey, we nearly made the final last time and you're not going to be talking about us. But hey, I mean, we just want to be a touch realistic given the draws and everything. And we want to give the top six nations probably some more time and, you know, introspect a little more over there. Anyway, after the first 9 months or so in the ongoing World Test Championship cycle, India and Australia occupy the top two spots. They are, of course, the finalists from this previous World Test Championship final, which Australia won. No surprises there as such, at least at this stage of the cycle, you'd have to say. And they've got a bit of daylight between them and the next best team, which is New Zealand at number three, surprisingly, right now. So, yeah, I mean, you'd kind of expect that.
Yeah. No, it's... The reason I wrote the piece was that Jonathan Norman from TalkSport was pointing out to me that the India-Australia series, because they're playing each other, could be very, very interesting for how this all breaks down. Because it's not ideal to play a five-test series against someone who you want points against for their game or for the final. And I looked at, you know, teams like New Zealand, who I suppose perennially we see them as a chance. You know, they made the first final. They quite often play short series, which is kind of perfect for this and everything else. They're pretty good at home and everything. So New Zealand was kind of the first team I looked at just to make sure if they had a chance or not. And I just couldn't really find a way to make them make it to the final. It would have been interesting because I think I started this piece at like day two on Australia, New Zealand. So at one stage, obviously I had them penciled in to win that test match. And I don't even think that would have swung it for them. It's just, that India series is a killer. Like if you're trying to win the World Test Championship points, going to India in the middle of it is so hard because chances are you're not going to win any points, right? But you're certainly not going to win two games.
Yeah. I mean, if we dig a little deeper over here, obviously we know that New Zealand are like cricket's, you know, most decorated dark horses, if you will. And I mean, they have won the inaugural edition. Yeah, the blackest caps, sure. But in the inaugural World Test Championship final versus India, they, you know, defeated the almighty Indians and they won that trophy. And that test mace is something that they'll probably cherish a lot because New Zealand came so close in other ICC events and, you know, faltered. They've been like two ODI World Cups and one T20 World Cup, if I'm not wrong, in the space of, 9 years, which is kind of insane. And, they recently got swept versus Australia at home, which isn't a huge surprise given that they haven't defeated Australia at home since 93. You know, that's 31 years. That's crazy.
And a long time.
Even if they were close to winning one of those test matches, they kind of botched it in the end or found a way to botch it. And they, you know, apart from being swept against Australia, they did manage to defeat South Africa's E team or F team at home before that. They drew 1-1 in Bangladesh as well, which in the grand scheme of things is a crucial test match dropped. But if we actually look at the remainder of their series, because they're halfway through, they've played 3 out of 6. They've got England at home, which is a very challenging series, right? They drew 1-1 last time. And then they also will be touring. Wait a second, where are they going? Let me just check this. Yeah, India and Sri Lanka. Now that is a tough one, right? Because even in Sri Lanka, you'd expect the home side to give them, you know, a proper run for their money because they've got all of those spinners and Jayasurya alone could probably dismantle New Zealand, right? And, you know, even if, let's suppose they sweep England 3-0 at home, to, you know, somehow come on top versus India and Sri Lanka away, India in particular, that is a challenge in three quarters. And their test team is a shadow of the one that won the test championship, right? It's not the same at all. So it's looking rather unlikely, but they managed to draw a test versus India last time around. So there's that.
They did. And you know, India have got flatter pitches at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, Kane Williamson and Daryl Mitchell and, you know, what's his name? Blundell could easily bat for days and cause some issues. So I do think that is a possibility there. But I don't see them winning a test against India. And even if you're being friendly against Sri Lanka, and I think you do have to be friendly because realistically, they don't have a spinner. Like, with all due respect to Ajaz Patel, he's kind of, you know, he's a fine bowler in those conditions, but he's kind of on his own. So they don't, you know, Mitchell Santner has never really taken wickets consistently. They had Ish Sodhi bowled in Pakistan, am I? In a test match,
I believe
right?
so, yes. I do, you know, remember they, so. The
other and not, I'm not having a go at Santner or Ishodi, but they're white ball bowlers, right? Ratchan Ravindra and Glenn Phillips will, you know, maybe take some wickets as well. But if you're going up against a full strength Sri Lanka lineup, like, that's just tough, right? So
yeah.
I think it's very unlikely. And then, you know, you talked about the England series as well. Just to go back to that, England should have beaten them last time. Now, that was kind of peak confidence of the Baz ball, right? Of, you know, we're rolling forward and everything else.
That was the era of Baz ball where losing that test match was self-glorification that, hey, look, we got a result. We gave you an entertaining test match.
In some ways, losing it was the biggest victory that cricket had. So I do think there is certainly an element there of, what's the best way of putting it? Of, you know, Baz ball is not at the same level. So, you know, they should be slightly better. But New Zealand's a worse team now than they were at that stage. So it's a little bit confusing from that point of view. But it's just, they really have to probably beat Sri Lanka 2-0, have a great series against England, and then, you know, to do anything. And it's not currently how we would see those series going. It would take a pretty big couple of upsets for them to get to this position, I would say. And then the India stuff is just, as you said, what did you say before? It was a challenge in three quarters.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I can't see a world where they're going to be able to do that.
I can't even see a world where they draw that series. But here's my question to you. What is more likely, New Zealand making the World Test Championship final or Ajaz Patel getting 10 wickets in an innings again?
I mean, he might have to. So, I mean, it's probably more likely that he takes 10 wickets in an innings than anything else. So, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, they're not. When they had, you know, Bolt and Southney and Wagner and Jameson all available to them, and even, you know, players like De Gondom and everyone else, they had sort of not a team that could compete in Asia. A team that could compete in Asia. Not India, but against the other side. It just doesn't really look like that team anymore. And so I'd be surprised. And also, a lot of it will come down to fitness, right? Of who is fit. I thought Jameson bowled really well in one of the tests in India. Mm-hmm. But do you really want to bowl Jameson in India in a test match anymore? Like, I mean, it's hard enough getting him fit for a normal wicket, let alone one over there. So I think there's a lot of question marks with that. And also, you know, just too many. I think what you'll see, and I know you kind of know this, but with a lot of these teams, just too many things has to go right. But I think even being as optimistic as I could be about New Zealand, I couldn't see it going right enough.
Yeah. And I mean, we don't know how many of these test matches Trent Bolt will play. Maybe none, you know, given the way things are going. And also, they're not even everyone's favorite second team anymore. So they've lost a bit of fanfare because they're playing Scott Kugelein. So they don't even have the prayers with them, right? For those of you who believe in that sort of stuff. But I don't see New Zealand challenging. In fact, I don't think they're going to finish in the top half of that table even, because I think Baz ball will probably come up top versus them away. And then, I mean, even if they are to win two test matches versus India and Sri Lanka, that's not going to be enough. Not nearly going to be enough. Anyway, over to their trans-Tasman rivals then, Australia, who are the defending champions. Pat Cummins and co. may have defended the Ashes in England. But the scoreline was 2-2, and then they drew a series versus the West Indies at home, 1-1, which was a bit of a shocker, and that's a big test match dropped over there. That said, they have swept New Zealand away and Pakistan at home, and those are test matches or test match wins guaranteed for Australia, because they don't lose to those two sides much, particularly versus Pakistan at home and New Zealand anywhere at this point. And, you know, even though they've got those two clean sweeps and those two drawn series, it's a tough one because they've got that 5-test match series versus India. And even though it's in their own backyard, the last two times India has toured, they've come out victorious. They've won those series, right? So who's to say that changes this time? And then 2 away tests in Sri Lanka are tricky. They're not particularly, easy pickings for Australia because it wasn't too long ago that they got swept by Sri Lanka 3-0. I mean, it is like a few years now, but, a lot of those guys are still playing. And I remember Khwaja was deemed to be someone who cannot play in Asia after that tour. And look what he's done since then. But do you see room for Australia botching their chances to make the World Test Championship final again and defending their title?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that sort of the series against Pakistan, West Indies and New Zealand as a whole, so what's 6 tests? You followed them. They didn't look that good in those series. They actually reminded me a lot of South Africa, where you were just like, the bowlers could keep them in any game, but they're going to need someone to actually make consistent runs for them. And, it didn't look that likely at that point. So you put that pressure when they travel away to Sri Lanka. It's quite interesting. They've had mixed results in Sri Lanka over the years. They've certainly won some series that I didn't expect them to win. They've been terrible in other series I expected them to be competitive in. So, I think they've been, they're in an interesting zone over the last, 7 or 8 years in Sri Lanka. But they kind of have just put a little bit more pressure on themselves by dropping that West Indies test, right? Like, that's the big one. If they dropped the one to New Zealand as well, it would have been, everything would have been yo-yo. But that one against the West Indies really changes things because they kind of now have to win probably 3-2 against India. And then also they need to be in a situation where they win at least one test against Sri Lanka with the opportunity perhaps to win 2, depending on how the rest of the results go.
Yeah.
If they beat West Indies, that would have just been a little bit easier, right? Like, a 1-1 or a 1-0 in Sri Lanka wouldn't have been the end of the world. But now it's just, ratcheted that up a little bit. And as you said, India have beaten them. For the purposes of this, and I, when I did it originally, I put 3-2 to Australia just because home team, I think these teams are fairly even. India have done well the last couple of times, but even so, you probably would assume that Australia would come out on top. But I was also flexible enough to look at the results in other ways and see how things would have gone. And there is a possibility that India could win that as well. So if India win 3-2, then suddenly things are really, really different for Australia from that moment on.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the Border Gavaskar Trophy in this cycle is the big one. 5 test matches, India and Australia in Australia. So that pretty much might decide the fate of one of those two teams. We'll get to that fun stuff later. But it's just that Sri Lanka series, right? It's the last one they play. It's somewhere or it's a venue where they've, sometimes they've succeeded, sometimes they've failed. Either they succeed royally or they fail royally. And if Sri Lanka catch them in a spin, well, imagine them winning the Border Gavaskar Trophy and then losing both tests in Sri Lanka and missing out. It's not something that isn't possible. It's something that, could happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's unlikely Australia don't win a test, right? I think that's a... Like, if you were looking at it, you would say to yourself, they should win a test in that series. But you're right. It's not it's not outside the realms of possibility that Australia go to Sri Lanka and don't win a test match. I haven't checked if it's rainy season. It's always, the two seasons I never understand in Sri Lanka are rainy season and Rambutan season. And Sri Lanka's,
you've mentioned this.
Yeah. Sri Lankans will understand at least one of these. When it comes down to it, yeah, I think you're right. I think there is a legitimate chance for that to happen. But I'm more confident in Australia probably winning a test match, right?
Imagine them winning the Border Gavaskar Trophy and then both of those tests versus Sri Lanka getting rained out. That would be a proper, damp squib. That would screw them over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways that can go. But... So if you look in, I just bringing up the record here. So they were in 2022, they split that series 1-1, and 2016 is the one you were talking about. They lost 3-0 there. 2011, I know this is going back a long way. They won that series in 2011, but it was 1 win and 2 draws. So I think the first game might have been the Nathan Lyon game when he took Kumar. And they don't play in Sri Lanka all that often. So those are the last three series that they've played in Sri Lanka in the last 20 years, right? We know they struggle with the turning ball. The ball turns more in Sri Lanka than anywhere else. And so it's, you know, there's a possibility. I mean, it's one of those things where if you told me Australia won 2-0, I'd be like, yeah, that's fair. If you told me it was 1-1, I'd be like, okay, I can see that. And if you told me that, you know, Sri Lanka won 2-0, I'd be like, okay, didn't see that coming, but I can work back from that. Like, I'd be shocked if Australia don't win a test. But I'm also, I don't think it's, as I said, beyond, like when we go back to India, New Zealand, if you told me that that New Zealand won 2 tests in India, I'd be like, what happened? I need to see the tape. You're going to have to show me how this happened, right? And if you said that India and New Zealand won 1 test based on what I've seen of New Zealand recently, I'd be like, all right, what happened? Was there injuries? Or, whereas I don't think those sorts of things need to happen for Sri Lanka to win that series. So it shows you what pressure Australia is under. Now, Australia could absolutely smash India at home, right? Like we've seen some, you know, we just saw what I would call a fairly competitive 4-1 series between India and England. And we saw another one in 2018 where England did India did really well and still lost that series really easily, right? Sometimes you see that. And if there could be that India play really good cricket, but Australia just keep getting over the line as home teams often do.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, Australia's in a much better position. But if that doesn't happen or there's draws or anything else, it gets very interesting very fast.
I don't have Australia sweeping India or even winning 4-1 for that matter at home versus India because, you know, India's been playing a lot in Australia recently. They understand the surfaces. Their batters are confident to score runs over there and they've got a killer bowling attack as well, right? Even if you just look at their seamers, Bumrah alone would cause them a fair few problems. But let's just put it this way, that if Australia or this Australian team can lose a test match versus the West Indies at home, nearly lose to New Zealand after God knows how many years, or 31, as we said earlier, and also they were in a position to drop a test or two versus Pakistan. Keeping all of those things in mind, it is, like you mentioned, not beyond the realms of possibility that they kind of shit the bed in Sri Lanka. And that might be the series which decides their fate, which makes this cycle all the more interesting.
It's 7 tests. I think we would both agree that they should win 4 of those matches, right?
Yeah.
And depending on how the other results go, that might be enough, right? Just to win those 4. The issue for Australia is 5 out of 7 playing in conditions they don't particularly like, and then also playing the best team in the world is going to be tricky. That's a lot of wins in 7 matches, right?
Yeah.
And that's not factoring in rain for one of them. Right. You know, and all those sorts of things. So I think it's interesting from them. I still think that they are the most likely finalist alongside India, but I certainly don't think that it's a lock for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been observing Pat Cummins' Australia for a while, ever since he took over the job. And across all formats, I'd say that they somehow managed to get over the line. They're scrappy, but good at being scrappy. So I do see them making the final as well, but not so comfortably. Let's just put it that way. But
So just to get back to the scrappy thing, that's kind of why I don't think they'll lose both tests in Sri Lanka, right? I just think they will find a way to be able to do that. But you're right.
Yeah, Steve Smith, 300 in Sri Lanka. That's going to save them, right, as opener. Anyway, let's shift our focus to South Africa now. And I feel like that series loss, 2-0 series loss versus New Zealand away could cost them big time over here, right? They had a favorable draw. You could argue the most favorable draw coming into this World Test Championship cycle. They were playing India at home in 2 tests, which is a series that they've split 1-1. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, those 2 test matches versus New Zealand, if you had full strength South Africa, you could make a case that they could win both. But thanks to the SA20 and their weak finances, they'll have to win the bulk of their games here on. And they play Pakistan and Sri Lanka at home. So 2 Asian sides at home is something that definitely favors them. And their away series are coming against Bangladesh and West Indies, which are lower ranked sides. Although I will say that they could drop a test in both of those venues because Bangladesh are sturdy at home. And the West Indies have a knack of pulling off that, you know, solitary win and making us believe that they're back every single time. So
the West Indies are interesting because they're kind of like Sri Lanka, South Africa light. The bowling attack isn't quite as good as South Africa, but they've got bowlers who can win them games, but they don't really have batters who can keep them in them, which means they, as they showed with Australia, West Indies are capable of pinching the test. And we've seen that at times against England and other teams where you're just like, oh my God, their bowlers have all got it together. If Kemar Roach is in form and you can get one other young fast bowler with him and then two or three, suddenly they look like a really, really good side. And they've got a great spinner now as well. So I should say a great young prospect in Gudakesh Modi. But, you know, there's a lot to like of their bowling attack. There's not as much to like with their batting. Let's, you know, that is honest. But, yeah, so just to go back to the New Zealand series, I'm sure we'll come to that at the very end. But on the series itself, so going into that, South Africa had won 26 tests and lost 5 to New Zealand. So you just said that they had the best WTC schedule, right? And they did. I never went back and did ratings because I think I had time when it happened. So I never got a chance to go back. But I had a quick look at it this time and I was like, yeah, that's the team that had the best ratings. With that said, if you also throw in the fact that they had an absolutely brilliant record against New Zealand, they should have been finalists. Right. So losing both of those tests, and they almost stole one of them, even with their F side, losing both of those tests is really, really tricky. So are you willing to say that they will win 4-0 against Pakistan and Sri Lanka at home?
Now, that's the tricky one, right? Because Sri Lanka, the only Asian side to have ever defeated South Africa in a test series played in South Africa. And Pakistan are mercurial once again. The consistency has gone out the road. So
And South Africa don't have batters. So yeah. You could easily, all you need is one good spell from Shaheen or Madashanka or whoever. And like South Africa could be in all sorts. But also, you would have to say that South Africa should win those, all four of those matches.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, yes, South Africa start as favorites in all four of those matches. And even, you know, slight favorites in the away matches, if we really are being honest. I mean, Bangladesh is a tricky one because they also don't know how to play.
Let's go with it. Are you willing to give them 4-0 in the home? That's my first question to you.
Yes, I am. I mean, okay. Theoretically.
So West Indies. So I did this, and Neil Manthorpe, Jonathan Norman, I can't remember, maybe Alex Shooter was there with me as well. We were going through that. And I said 1-1 in the West Indies, and Manthorpe was not having it. He was like, there's no way they're going to lose, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I can easily see how the West Indies win a test match in that series. What do you think? Is it, I'm asking you, what is the most likely result? Is it 1-1 or is it 2-0?
I would say 1-1 actually, because I feel like the West Indies are that sort of a team.
Suck it, manners.
Especially at home, right? Because we see that they routinely defeat England at home. Yeah. They defeated Pakistan in a test match at home recently as well. And Pakistan were, you know, pound for pound, the better side between those two teams. So I can definitely see them upset South Africa in one of those games. And you know what? It's not unimaginable to me either if the West Indies sweep that series. I mean, it's not... you know, not a possibility once again. It's within the realms, I feel.
If it's a really low-scoring series, then it could be 2-0 in either direction. I don't disagree with that. Like, I can't see how the West Indies can make if there's decent runs scored, I just can't see them making enough runs to win that series. But if they're low-scoring. Okay, so, Bangladesh.
Wait a second, though. Back to the West Indies. It also depends on what sort of surfaces they get. If they get quick surfaces, then South Africa are favorites. But if they get like slow and low turners, like if they are to play a test match in Guyana, then hey, they're not favorites to win that one, are they?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel that the West Indies bowlers want quicker wickets as well. So what you don't want to do against South Africa is probably give them bouncy wickets, right? But seam-friendly wickets maybe helps both teams. So I don't know. It's a very, very fair point.
Could be a shootout. I would love it for it to be a shootout.
It might be one of the most fascinating series as it is even if it doesn't end up being that important, because I'm just not 100% sure which direction that we would go in there. Okay, so let's say it's going to be 1-1 for now. South Africa, Bangladesh. Right? So in the history of South Africa and Bangladesh, and they're both newer teams in some ways, but there have been 6 tests played in Bangladesh between these two teams. South Africa have won 4, and Bangladesh have only... Bangladesh haven't won. So it was, South Africa have won 4, and there have been 2 draws, right? Fine. We know that South Africa is the better team, but that's fine. But that last win that South Africa had... was in 2008.
Wow. Right? That's 16 years ago. And by the time they play the series, it'll be, 17 years or something.
Right. And so there were 2 tests in the middle, which were in Chattagong and Mirpur. 2015, they were both drawn. Right? So that could end up being the most important series, certainly from a South African point of view, and certainly from upsetting India and Australia's point of view. And I don't know how to run a form guide on this. So I was looking up the stats. Remember, I was looking up the sweep stats the other day. Mm. Something I noticed was that the South African players are terrible at playing the sweep. And that used to be their staple shot, right? Mm. My feeling is that they're not particularly good in subcontinental conditions as a batting team at the moment. And so that's not in their favor. So, and you could almost make a claim at the moment that Bangladesh is the most subcontinental conditions, hmm. right? Because it has the least amount of bounce. You're going to get spin and you're also going to get slow wickets at times. So, you know, at least in India and Sri Lanka, the ball will sometimes come onto the bat nicely and so you can still play your shots. That's not always the case. It depends on which wickets and all that sort of stuff. But it does feel a little bit like how is that going to go? I don't know the answer. I'm not sure if you have a good answer for that. I went one all again just because I don't know.
Mm. I mean, we are saying in this assumption that Bangladesh win their first ever test match versus South Africa at home. I can see that happening. That's definitely something that, you know, could very well happen. And, you know, Super Shanto is around, so you never know, he wins them a test or two. But, you know,
But when you say it's their first ever test against South Africa at home, they have beaten Australia, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, England at home, haven't they?
They haven't defeated Pakistan at home.
No. Is Pakistan the one they haven't? But there's a bunch of teams they've beaten at home. But I would say most of those victories are after 2015.
Hmm. Like, that's true.
They're a much better team after 2015 than they were beforehand, right? So again, I'm just throwing it out there because it's confusing. I don't really know what the true results of that will be. But what I can say is this, that I don't think South Africa is set up to go there and be good, right?
I mean, they would be overly dependent on Keshav Maharaj, I feel, and Taijul is there for Bangladesh. This series could be so epic that the name of the series for future years to come could be the Islam Maharaj series. How about that?
So I'm just having a look here at the averages. The averages. So Bangladesh bowlers in Asia average 32 their spinners. And South Africa haven't played in Asia. Wait a minute. When was the last time South Africa played in Asia?
Pakistan, I didn't even know. Isn't it? Which they lost 2-0. But those weren't spin-friendly surfaces. That was 2021, I believe. And it was the last of the good surfaces we ever saw in Test cricket in Pakistan.
And then they went to India and struggled on real rages a while before that. So, do you know what I mean? Like, how do you get a form line on this? Like, where is this going? If this team doesn't play there, it's not, you know, these are not easy things to do. And, you know, if you don't spend a lot of time playing in Bangladesh, those wickets are tricky. We remember back in the old days when teams used to go there, even when Bangladesh wasn't particularly good, teams sometimes just had trouble just getting through, right? It wasn't the most normal thing. So let's have a look. Yeah, so 2019, you said they played in Pakistan. When was that?
2021, quite sure.
Why can't I find that?
They lost 2-0. Yeah.
So they were there. They were in Pakistan then. They were in India in 2019. And then they were in Sri Lanka in 2018. So they have played three test series since 2015 in Asia.
Hmm. And how many test matches have they won out of those three series? Probably one at best?
They lost 2-0 to Sri Lanka. They lost
then none.
3-0 to India. And then lost both to Pakistan.
So they've been swept in Asia.
So my question is, am I being friendly in saying that Bangladesh should only win one game? You could make an argument that Bangladesh win both these games. It's how South Africa handle these conditions is fascinating. And, you know, it's a little bit different these days. Some of the players will have played franchise cricket around the world and everything else. But Bangladesh wickets are different to other wickets. So I can see a way where those four test matches we just talked about, the two in the West Indies and two in Bangladesh, South Africa might only win one of those, right?
It could happen.
But the other side of it is they could also win three, right? I don't think they can win all four because I think that is that is craziness. But I do think they can win three. So now you start to look at, well, how many test matches is Australia going to win? Mm-hmm. And can South Africa can slip in? If they can win all of those test matches, they certainly make a bit of a mess of Australia and India's plans. But can they win all of those test matches? Because you weren't even 100% positive they were going to win them all at home. Yeah. To think that they would win all of them, even if they should go in favorite for each series to win at least win the series, right?
Mm,
But I don't think they're a favorite to win 2-0 every single time.
I mean, given those stats in Asia that we just discussed, that the last three times they toured, they lost all seven test matches. That really puts a big question mark on the Bangladesh series. And also in the last 3 years where they haven't really played much in Asia, maybe it's just that Pakistan series, which wasn't particularly, you know, you can't say those were spin-friendly wickets. They lost both test matches over there as well. They've won, what, 11 tests and lost 9 in these last 3 years. So not playing in Asia, they have a touch better than 50% record. And now we're putting them in Asia and the West Indies, which could turn potentially. So it's interesting, sure. Right? And all of a sudden, you thought, or both of us, I guess, when we started looking at this, thought of South Africa as the spoiler team, given the favorable draw. All of a sudden, it looks quite complicated.
Yeah, it looks unlikely. And I suppose this is where I want to come back to the first bit. If this happens and West Indies steal a test and Bangladesh beat them in a couple of tests, or, you know, Sri Lanka beat them in a test, whatever that may be, and they just miss out. And they miss out because they send an F team to New Zealand mm-hmm. when a full strength team should have at least won a test match. And considering the history of South Africa and New Zealand, they would have been hoping for two. It's a real slap in the face, right? Because they put the SA20 first, and they would have had a chance of actually winning a major ICC tournament. They found a new way to sabotage themselves. So if they do end up within touching distance of that, a lot of us are going to go back and have a look at those points and go, oh my God, they rain ruled themselves.
Yeah, basically. I mean, this time they took fate into their own hands and they were like, forget the rain gods. We're going to make sure that we give ourselves less of a chance. Anyway, let's move on. Let's speak about England's Baz bowlers. They've just lost a series in India, but they did manage to win a test out of 5, mm-hmm. lost 4, of course. And they drew 2-2 versus Australia at home in the Ashes. Now, they are slated into tour New Zealand and Pakistan, where they've got 3 test matches each. And they're hosting Sri Lanka and the West Indies. So I can see them sweeping those home tests, right? They could win all of those games versus Sri Lanka and the West Indies because they're weaker opposition and they're playing in conditions that they're used to. And, you know, New Zealand and Pakistan aren't the worst away tours either. They swept Pakistan last time they toured. And that was one of those major Baz ball victories. And that was the first time Pakistan ever got swept in a test series played in their own backyard. And then New Zealand, you know, pound for pound, they're a better team. And they should have won the last series, drew that 1-1. And they'll back themselves to win it this time around as well. But looking at their results that have already come in, England are probably going to have to win, like, what, 90% of these tests to give themselves a chance?
That's the problem with them in South Africa, really. It's just the amount of tests that they need to win. Mm. As you said before, home tests, not too worried about. Mm. Away tests, I mean, they don't play draws. So I'm pretty confident that they're going to have result tests against Pakistan. But will they be able to sweep the table again? Like, you know, it seems less likely than it did last time. Although, to be fair, I don't think it was that likely coming in last time. But and then New Zealand. New Zealand's probably slightly worse again, certainly with the fast bowling. And maybe England won't put them in a position to win. But, you know, I think New Zealand still has the ability to bat out draws and you know, elongate games and do other things. So it's tough, I think, for England to be able to do that. And it would be a very, very... It would be a hell of a run if they did that. And, you know, considering everyone's already given up on Baz ball, it would be hilarious if they did manage to do it. It's like the anti-hilarity we get from the South Africa shooting themselves in the foot would be everyone going, Baz ball's dead. And then suddenly going, oh shit, they made the final. But I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening. I think too many things can go wrong. You know, again, just to talk about the West Indies, I still, as I said, West Indies are always a chance of just stealing a test. Right.
And they have done that in England on a fair few tours.
So if you think about it, they're playing four tests against South Africa and England, you know, two at home, two away. I don't think that, you know, it's possible that they lose 4-0. It's also very possible they steal at least one test in that four group cluster. And if they do, whoever they steal it off is probably going to be the team that is ruled out first. But I just think too many things have to go right for England, like, you know, no weather problems, and no, you know, the Pakistan, they have to find ways to force results on Pakistani pitches. We don't know what the Pakistani pitches are going to be like. We're hoping they're going to be better, but if they're not, they're going to have to force results there. New Zealand is probably the most experienced. Would New Zealand, what have they played? New Zealand and Australia, I suppose. New Zealand, Australia, and India. No, India would be the most experienced team against baseball at the moment, wouldn't they? Because they would have played six tests against it. But New Zealand's right up there. They're not going to be surprised by anything that happens in baseball, right? So, you know, they won't be caught out. That it'll have to be that England beat them.
Yeah. I mean, the West Indies have proven to be a bit of a bogey team for England in tests, even in home tests. Honestly, they do steal a test from them every now and then, and they have defeated them like tour after tour when they play in the Caribbean. But let's hypothetically assume that England sweep the West Indies and Sri Lanka at home. I do see them winning those away series versus New Zealand and Pakistan, but I don't see them sweeping it or those two tours, right? And they kind of need that. They kind of need this is 10 test matches, is it? Or something close to that? Three versus Pakistan, three versus New Zealand, and then four. Yeah. Four. Or is it five?
I think, actually, that's a very good question. Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah. No, you're right. I think they would have to... I think it's 11 tests they're playing, isn't it? Off the top of my head.
I mean, I don't see England playing two test match series at home in a summer, right? That's just not enough.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right, actually, now that you said that. But yes, it's a lot of... So they're going to have to win... I think I worked out that even to give themselves a rough chance, they would have to win 10 out of 11.
Yeah.
And they probably have to win 11 out of 11, depending on what happens with South Africa, India, and Australia. So yes, it would be very, very hard for that to happen. You know, it's not that these things are impossible. It's just that when you look at them, it's 12 tests.
Ooh, then there you go. They probably have to win around 11, which makes it all the more 11. Harder.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but yeah. So it's six at home. You were so used to two test series, but both shocked when things are actually playing each other properly.
England always played three test match series, or for the most part they do. So that kind of makes sense. But yeah, winning 11 out of 12, that seems like a bit of a long shot, particularly given their style of play and how teams are now more accustomed to, you know, or how they are to tackle baseball. But I think,
aren't they really low at the moment on the points table? They're second last, right? Aren't they? Yeah. They played 10 matches and they've got they've won three. Were three, lost six, and have one draw. So, like, you can, you know, and to be fair, South Africa are quite low as well. South Africa have won one out of their four matches. But, you know, both of those teams can go on a run from here, as we've talked about it. Mm. It's just whether they can run hard enough, and it looks unlikely to me.
That Ranji test is going to bite them in the back, because had they just won over there, it might have changed their fortunes. Because if you talk about England winning 10 out of those 12 test matches, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, can be done, is
also
possible.
There's two wins, if you think about it. So the Ranji test is a good example, but also the rained out test at Old Trafford.
Mm, yes.
So, or the Pat Cummins, Nathan Lyon partnership at Edgbaston. So they actually, if one of those games had gone, because they would have then taken points off one of the other potential finalists as well. Mm-hmm. So that's almost like a bunch of hinge points that have gone against them. But yeah, it's very unlikely.
Yeah, they'll make the moral finals though, so that's all.
Well, they're already in. They've already won that tournament.
They've won it. The Moral World Test Championship, both of those they've won, or at least one of those they've won.
New Zealand forfeited it by bringing Kugelhayne in.
Yeah. Anyway, time to speak about Pakistan. They won both tests in Sri Lanka. Of course I do. That's my favorite part of this podcast. They started off their campaign on a solid, you know, they had a solid start. They won both of those test matches versus Sri Lanka. And even though they were the better team pound for pound, it's Sri Lanka, and they're always a sturdy team at home, and they will win a lot of games. And I feel like Sri Lanka playing test cricket at home is Sri Lanka's best format. That's when you see the best of them, right? But then they lost all three to Australia in Australia, which is customary for Pakistan at this point, because the last time they won in Australia a single test match was Sydney 95. So I was 1.5 years old or nearly two. That's just to put things into context. Now, they are set to host England, Bangladesh and the West Indies at home. And I can see them sweeping the latter two. I can see them winning both tests versus the West Indies and both tests versus Bangladesh. But England will be the real challenge over there, considering they got whitewashed by Stokes and McCullum and their boys the last time those guys toured for three test matches. And I hope, you know, that the pitches are better. The surfaces are, you know, there's something in those surfaces for the bowlers because that'll give Pakistan a better chance, honestly. But the one series that really kills this entire ordeal for them is that away tour to South Africa. They've got two test matches over there. And in the history of South Africa versus Pakistan in South Africa, there have been 14 test matches and Pakistan has won two. So that's a pretty, you know, dodgy win percentage. And yeah, they've never won a test series in South Africa, but have drawn one back in 97, 98. And, you know, lateral movement plus bounce, Pakistan is definitely going to struggle versus South Africa's pace bowling attack. But, you know, they might be able to sneak away with a test win if their bowlers come to the party. But that said, it's just one of those situations where too many things need to happen for them to have a shot at the final. Because, you know, when I looked at their draw prior to the start of the World Test Championship cycle, I said, oh, tours to Australia and South Africa, the two places Pakistan have never won a test series. This one's gone. It's done. And yeah, they'll have to really play out of their skins just to be, you know, in contention, I would say. Forget actually making the final.
Yeah, I mean, let's just give them the credit of West Indies, Bangladesh, although I don't think those are foregone conclusions.
Mm. Yeah.
They looked spooked against England last time. They will be more aware of how to play against England this time, but that's an issue for them. And then, as you said, they've got South Africa at the end. But I think the biggest issue is, my guess is the pitches will be slightly more favorable to batting than what we saw in that horrendous summer that ruined their last campaign.
Yeah. I mean, however, think about this. They won 2-0 versus South Africa. Then they had all of these big teams slated into tour. Australia was, you know, the longest test series in history. Those three test matches felt like forever. And Australia, you know, came out on top with a 1-0 victory margin. And they had to save the second test, like, dramatically, right? And then they lost 3-0 to England. And in the 0-0 draw versus New Zealand, they were the team that were about to lose those games, but they saved those test matches. Yeah. So they've been very, very poor at home. They'll have to change those surfaces or alter their conditions because Pakistan are not the sort of team that can bat other teams out of test matches. So
here's my thing for you. I think some of the pitches will be changed. But I think there'll be some pitches that will not be changed. And because of that, I still think you have to factor draws in to those. And that's where there's just, they can't play the catch-up game, right? Like, it's just, again, it's just too much that they need to do in those situations. So, I'm not sure they're playing particularly great cricket either. So, you know, at least with South Africa, you can say, it's messy what South Africa is doing. But, you know, when it's messy, they can win games as well. Whereas when Pakistan's messy, you're like, I don't know. But they didn't play terrible cricket in Australia. So I'll give them a small bump for that and see how they go. But I'd be absolutely, it would have to be like a proper Pakistani World Cup run to come back, right? Like, yeah, it's a bit like what we were talking about with England. It is mathematically possible, but you'd be shocked if they ended up in that final.
Yeah, I mean, they still don't have a formidable spinner in any format. Yeah. Abrar would really have to, you know, bowl some worldies in order for them to kind of win games via spin. And then if you take Shaheen and Nasim out of the pace attack, it looks very toothless, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, and one injury to them is, and, you know, especially that's the other problem with playing on flat pitches as well. Like, you bowl those guys into the ground.
Yeah. And they bowled those guys into the ground regardless because Pakistan played their first string team versus Nepal at home in the Asia Cup. So, yeah, there are lots of issues over there. Let's talk about India now. I saved the best for last. And, you know, you'd imagine India to make the World Test Championship final again just because they have so much quality in their ranks. Just recently, they defeated England. They're
on top at the moment as well.
Yeah, they're on top at the moment. They defeated England at home with a side which had some absentees, some injuries, no Kohli. you know, and they rested a few players here and there. So even with their somewhat second string team, they looked very, very dominant versus England's best bowlers at home. And, you know, they've been pretty much the most consistent test team for the last decade or something, right? And they're a good away team as well. So you would put your money on India to make the final once again and play three World Test Championship finals on the bounce. But, you know, even though they've defeated England at home, they did drop a test, right? So that does kind of slightly complicate things. And then they drew one in the West Indies, right? That is a test match that they should have won. And rain played spoil sport for, you know, some part of that. But got to give credit to the West Indies as well. Now, the drawn series in South Africa actually helps them over here, because had they lost that 2-0, it would have complicated things for them a whole lot more. It's that five test match series versus Australia, really, that it all boils down to for India. They need to be able to win 2 to 3 test matches over there to kind of secure their spot. Because you'd say that versus New Zealand and Bangladesh at home, they should be winning all of those test matches. Like, that's a sure shot thing unless something dramatic happens. So yeah, India, whilst are in probably the best position to make yet another World Test Championship final, it's not as cozy as it looks.
No. I mean, because they're playing Australia and Australia can get on a roll against them, you know, I mean, even a good team can travel away from home and find themselves behind and get sort of rolled over, right, and trampled on. So the South Africa loss was a kick to the teeth, because they should have won that series 2-0. I know South Africa is a good spoiler team, but, you know, they just should be able to win those test matches. But they should roll through Bangladesh and New Zealand, as you said, and then it comes down to how well they play. It almost feels like they played so well in Australia twice in a row that either they've worked out how to play well in Australia or there's about to be a big regression.
Yeah. Trust them to make some very, very, let's just say, animated advertisements for that series, because they've won twice now, right? So we get to see some fun content.
The interesting thing about that series is that it's already the biggest series in cricket, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels bigger when India go to Australia than when Australia go to India, because I suppose India have a chance of winning. And so both teams are more even, right? Whereas the other one, you're just like, well, Australia's going to India and they're going to lose. Maybe they'll win a test. And so when India go to Australia, that is the biggest series now in world cricket. But the interesting thing for this is it's also the biggest swing series, because it is five test matches, and because it is the two teams most likely to make the finals. Like, if one team does win 4-1 or, you know, 3-0 or it's 2-2 or whatever, all of those results are absolutely huge.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, this is the biggest series of the cycle, and it's the biggest series in Test cricket at the moment currently as well. I mean, it's more competitive than the Ashes when India tour Australia, because they have won twice, right? And you get to see some memorable cricket, even when they weren't winning. You know, Kohli scoring those twin tons in Adelaide is something everyone remembers. And I suppose it's safe to say that in the context of this cycle of the World Test Championship, the most important series are, of course, the Border Gavaskar Trophy in Australia. And then pretty much every series that South Africa plays, right? And Australia-Sri Lanka. Let's not forget that one.
Yeah. So, yes. South Africa, I suppose, are interesting just because, you know, we talked about, you know, Pakistan and England are very unlikely, but mathematically possible. Whereas South Africa are, and, you know, so that would be interesting. And so I think what's interesting about the Sri Lanka in Australia series is that it comes after the India-Australia one. And by that stage, if we're lucky, Australia are going to have to do something in that series in order to get the World Test Championship. And if we're really lucky, the ideal situation is Australia have to win 2-0, right?
That would be amazing.
And they turn up to Sri Lanka and they win the first test and the second test is a dogfight. It would be absolutely perfect for the World Test Championship. But just, I think, even if you look at I think it's, I'm just trying to remember my dates, but I think I've got this right. Australia, India, and South Africa versus Asia, the rest of Asia, except for Bangladesh, is all at the same time. So we're going to be having tests in two different time zones that sort of complement each other, so you can watch them back to back, that will actually relate to each other. So, you know, India has a bad day and South Africa has a good day, and or vice versa, and suddenly the narrative is all there. If we can then roll that into this Australia-Sri Lanka series, and this is where the World Test Championship could be absolutely massive, right? I'm not expecting 20 million Indians to watch Australia, Sri Lanka. But I am expecting to be 3 to 4 times as much interest in that series as there would normally be. If it is down to, you know, India need a certain result to guarantee their spot. And it might not be. It might be South Africa. But either way, that's kind of what the World Test Championship is supposed to be. Because with all due respect, since Murali has retired, Australia-Sri Lanka test matches just don't mean as much. They happen. They exist. But they don't mean as much. Whereas here, you have the ability for them to be perhaps the most followed Australia Sri Lanka series of all time, just because maybe South Africans are interested. I don't know, maybe the English are interested. Maybe the Indians are interested, whoever that may be. That's a fascinating twist, right? And that is what the World Test Championship needs. A Border Gavaskar trophy that is not only just important because it's important, because everything about the Border Gavaskar trophy is important, but also because of WTC. And then you've got two other test series that, again, most people wouldn't follow: South Africa versus Pakistan or...
Bangladesh. South Africa, Bangladesh and West Indies, right?
No, I'm talking about the home test. I'm talking about the ones that are happening at the same time, the home test. Again, you just expect the Asian teams to go over there and lose, and then suddenly Kusal does something crazy and you have to follow it. But and then you've got this Australia Sri Lanka series at the end. So it's a fascinating little thing. And it could be that, I think I worked this out, that Australia could be second ranked. Is that right? And Sri Lanka could be eighth ranked coming into that series. So again, there is no reason to have any excitement over it, but it might be that Australia need to continue to win both those tests. Or maybe, here's another fascinating one. Australia could be the team that has the semi-final spot almost sewn up and loses the first test to Sri Lanka. There's so many permutations that could go in each direction. It's really quite fascinating. And, I think one of the problems we have in cricket is that there aren't that many people who cover the global game yet. And so it's very hard. And, huge shout out to, and I've forgotten his name now. I know his Reddit name, but the website is called cricket11.com. And he's got this predictor up and you can go in and you can pull all this up. And on Reddit, he's known as Andrew TIE Fighter. Because that's a fucking brilliant name. The ability, and the ICC used to have this up. Why the ICC got rid of it, Bayram? I don't know. But anyway, that's a different conversation.
I remember that predictor. It was fun.
Yeah. And so, this one isn't perfect. And I'm sure there'll be some changes to these series. We're putting on an extra test. We're taking away two tests. These two countries no longer exist. Whatever will happen. But the point being is, when you actually take a look at this, it's quite a fascinating, race on the way there. Even if it might only end up being those three teams, you could end up having situations where a team like Sri Lanka, because of who they're playing and when they're playing them, might, and Bangladesh is another case here, they might actually have an outsized role to play in the World Test Championship, even if they can't make the final themselves.
Yeah. And I mean, over the course of two completed World Test Championships, and now we're into the third, it's been a bit of a slow start to, the title in general, because everyone's bought into the final, right? Everyone enjoys that. They look forward to it. But the build up to the final hasn't been as well advertised as you'd want it, because sure, every series that the big three play amongst each other, that's very well advertised. You could throw in every India series in that as well. Maybe South Africa home series, because everyone kind of tunes into those test matches. But context and narrative building hasn't been perfect with respect to the World Test Championship. And this could be that cycle in which it changes. And whilst I still don't think this is a sustainable model to kind of keep test cricket relevant, absolutely not. I mean, ensuring a minimum number of games per team and equal pay and all of that stuff would definitely help. But whilst that is all, an ideal world sort of situation and a pipe dream, what we do have over here is something that could really kind of change that narrative that revolves around this tournament.
No, exactly. And that's kind of best case scenario for the World Test Championship. If it makes random series slightly more important, if it means that people are looking forward to different series, if it means that there is more, as you said, narrative or energy, anything like that coming through, all they're really doing is putting one extra test match on and a little bit of marketing around. There's not that much else that they actually do. That would be a massive win for what is a small undertaking, all things considered. And also, you know, the World Test Championship does get really good views. It does help the ICC get more money, which is, it might sound weird, but the ICC needs money because a vast majority of the ICC money obviously just goes directly to the boards. That ability to be able to administer the game better and all these different things. So I think it's a really, really important thing. And, you know, we're still a way off from what the ICC want, which, let's be honest, is India Pakistan in the final. But they gave, you know, they had a pretty good draw last time and they couldn't do it. Maybe next time they'll be in a better position. But, you know, this is the next best thing. An India-Australia final off the back of a dogfight Border Gavaskar trophy and Australia winning a tough test over Sri Lanka to knock South Africa out at the last minute. It's kind of, again, just exactly what this tournament needs. Or not tournament, but final needs.
Yeah, a cyclical sort of league structure, whatever you'd like to call it, with a final at the end. But I hope that whenever that series comes around, Australia versus Sri Lanka, we are talking about all of this stuff in a podcast and how Test cricket is alive all of a sudden and fun stuff like that, rosy things, which, you know, colorful rainbow, all that crap. But before we end this podcast, let's just take some quick predictions. I'm going to go safe here, India, Australia in the final.
Yeah, certainly. I would say I didn't do like a percentage chance of winning, but when I just went through and picked all the different winners in an unbiased way of just like, okay, this conditions, these teams, this is how I think they're going to go. I had India and Australia in the final, and I think too many things have to go right for England or South Africa in order to make it through. And I just don't think those teams are as good. So I can't see that happening for them.
Yeah, I'll go one deeper level and say that Ashwin will play in this World Test Championship final versus Australia. He'll get a tenfer and India will find a way to lose it.
Well, I mean, that would be remarkable if they made a third final and lost it. And if that's the case, the BCCI just need to get their act together and get a game over there. Because that's the other thing. It can't keep being in England. I know there are tricky reasons why it can't be in other places, but eventually it just has to be played in some other places, right? Like this is it's getting a bit ridiculous at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we had the first three ODI World Cups in England and then it moved. So maybe this is the last time for a bit that we see the World Test Championship final being played in England. Anyway, though, everyone who was watching and stuck around up until this point, let us know your predictions for whoever will be making the World Test Championship final. As per you, leave that in the comments below. And that'll be the end of this episode of the Footmarks podcast. We'll be back with another episode next week. That's all for now. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minbo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minbo.pro now.